A few weeks ago, I ran a poll on LinkedIn asking my followers which part of LinkedIn presence needs more help for you right now. And the results were really interesting. The top challenge was not the profile, it was posting and activity. Many people also admitted to struggling with connections, and some felt that they are set. But the comments and the private messages I have received revealed that there are common blockers like knowing what to post, lacking in confidence in writing, and worrying about employer approval. So in today's episode, we will look into why posting and activity really matters so much for your career, how you can overcome these blockers, and why building your LinkedIn presence isn't supposed to be done only when you need to find a job, but instead it should be about safeguarding your long-term career and reducing the risk of being caught off guard by redundancies and unexpected changes in your workplace. Then I have an important announcement that could make all of this LinkedIn activity conundrum way simpler for you. So wait until the end to find out. Okay, let's get started. Hi, I'm Renata Bernardi, and this is the Job Hunting Podcast, where I interview experts and professionals and discuss issues that are important for job hunters and those who are working to advance their careers. So make sure that you subscribe and follow, and let's dive right in. Let's start from the beginning. Why, Renata, why LinkedIn posting and activity matter so much? This is something I have to talk to my clients all the time to convince them that LinkedIn activity goes hand in hand with you updating your profile. Because LinkedIn is not supposed to just be your online resume. It's a reputation management tool. It's you taking control over your career. Posting regularly, building visibility, credibility, and trust are the three pillars of professional brand equity, and you need to take control of that. Saying things on your profile doesn't really validate your knowledge. It just shows that you know how to write a resume or build a LinkedIn profile. It doesn't show that you know about international relations, digital marketing, ESG, whatever your area of expertise is, you know, supply chain management, whatever it is, it will be in the activity, the people you follow, where you comment, your posts, your articles. That is what will show to the really invested investigators, you know, future employers, recruiters, talent acquisition managers that will be viewing your profile for those clues about you. So for job seekers, recruiters and hiring managers do check what you post. It shows how you think, what you care about, and how you add value to your profession, to your network of colleagues. For employed professionals, the consistent posting keeps you visible in your network. It helps attract opportunities in the future, even if you're not looking right now. And it makes you layoff proof. Not that you won't be laid off, but if you happen to lose your job or you want to walk out because you don't like it anymore, you will have nurtured connections long before you need them. And that's the best situation to be in. LinkedIn activity is less about you posting and sharing articles that you read and more about mixing it up. It's about posting. It's about commenting on other people's posts. It's about writing long content like articles. It's about sending messages, private messages to people, tagging people when you go to an event and you want to share a picture and they were in the event with you so you can tag them, following people and companies that are related to your profession. So connecting with people you know and having that live profile and presence on LinkedIn that evolves and upgrades over time is really important. It's not about being an expert. It's just about being connected with your profession. Think of LinkedIn activity posting as a form of career insurance. You may not need it today, but when you do, you will be glad that you have invested in it. Believe me. Okay, so the second thing we need to talk about are the common blockers and how you can overcome them. And here are some of the most frequent obstacles that I hear about from clients and what you can do about it. Not being sure what to post. Start simple. Share an article that you found really useful, that you've read, that you reflected on it, and you want to share some of the top tips that it has provided you. Reflect briefly on an experience of attending a conference, an event, reading a book, or comment on someone else's post. So if somebody has shared an experience, attended that conference, organized that conference, you can then just comment on their post and add your 5 cents to it. The key is not about volume. It's about intention. It's thoughtfulness, it's empathy, it's knowledge. Never use the words provided by LinkedIn AI. Never. Have your own thoughts and ideas and let AI then help you improve that draft if you haven't come around to, polishing it yourself. Don't overthink it. So consistency matters more than perfection. Don't do one post and then wait 4 months to do the second post. Ideally, what you want to do is to have a consistent presence on LinkedIn because it will be rewarded by the algorithm. It will show to more people, and that's what you want. You want it to show to more people. I know. Oh my God, Renata, I don't want anybody to see this. That's not how it works. The idea here is for you to think of LinkedIn as if it was, don't be scared about what I'm going to say, but it's like you being on stage talking about your expertise. So for example, in the past, I used to be in not-for-profit organizations and working with government and raising, an endowment for the not-for-profit organization so we could fund our activities in years to come. I could be talking about the issues that I face working with government right now, or I could talk about the event that we organized for the people that we were supporting through the not-for-profit organization. I could talk about celebrating, the fact that we had awarded, in the case it was scholarships to such and such and such individuals, and have photos of them and myself, or if I had gone to Government House to see the governor and have an event there, I would take a picture and I would share that. So there's a public relations involved, but there's also thought leadership. So if there were changes to the way that government were funding not-for-profits or providing grants that would impact our organization negatively, I would want to do an opinion piece about it. And in fact, we did. We wrote for newspapers, and we developed ideas around how to make this better and not worse for our organization. We went and we did TV interviews and so forth. When you have an organization, you can be expansive and go into media and do these expensive exercises of public relations. When you are an individual professional, you have LinkedIn. You can do opinion pieces as well for newspapers and other places, like maybe having a Substack newsletter, but you don't need to. LinkedIn is enough for corporate professionals to validate their area of expertise. So if you scroll down on my personal LinkedIn account all the way down to 2016, you will see that I wasn't a career coach then, and I was writing articles and developing my ideas. So I have encouraged my clients to do that, and I want you to feel comfortable doing that as well. If you have low confidence in your writing, I understand. Write as if you were speaking to a trusted colleague, right? Sometimes when I'm talking to clients and I ask them about their area of expertise, I can sense a change in their energy. All of a sudden, their narrative becomes way more fluid. They're more excited about what they're saying because they have expertise in the area. It's easier for them to talk about. If saying things, it's easier for you, record yourself. Use a tool like Otter AI and then transcribe it and then maybe ask ChatGPT to help you put it into a format for writing and proofread it, and Bob's your uncle. So, you know, it's really simple when you think about it and you create the discipline. It's just hard to start. I know that. Using bullet points, short sentences, and clear structure. So if you can remember these three things, it's really important on LinkedIn because people are interested in what you have to say. But if you write an entire essay and you make it like long paragraphs, they just don't have the attention span for it. That's not why people go on LinkedIn. So use catchy words and maybe use a Word document or Google document first before you start typing, instead of typing straight into the LinkedIn posting box that opens up when you want to post. Now, there's also concern about employer approval. And from time to time, I have worked with clients that had very severe, restrictive social media policies, and they couldn't really post. And that's fine. You can't post, you don't post, but that's not the end of your LinkedIn activity, right? So there is still nurturing of connections that you can do through commenting on other people's posts. There is also private messages that you can send. So if you cannot be very overt about your comments, you can still send people private messages. And I always encourage my clients that work in places like departments of justice and some, you know, political roles or diplomatic roles that I've worked with, to use the DMs, the direct messages, to make sure that their connections are linked with them and their connections know that they have seen the post. Share, you know, insights and learning, and never share confidential information. So for everybody that is currently working, you have to be diplomatic about your place of employment. And in fact, I encourage you to, from time to time, share the posts from your organization. So if you work for an organization, let's just name a common sort of well-known brand, Coca-Cola. You work for Coca-Cola and they make an announcement that is somewhat linked to your area of expertise, you share that post with a little comment from you about what it means. You comment under that post. You like that post. And your future employers and recruiters, they also want to see that you are an invested part of the team of the organization that you are working for. When you are posting about whatever you want to post about, it needs to be insights. It needs to be learning. It's not about sharing confidential information. Definitely not about sharing political views. LinkedIn is not the platform for that. And definitely not about sharing grievances. There are other avenues for that. LinkedIn is not it. You have TikTok. I mean, you go to TikTok these days, you will find so many amazing individuals posting about their challenges of being laid off and looking for work. You can follow them and see their tips and their ideas and their insights and, you know, how difficult it has been for them. It might make you feel good. TikTok is the platform for that. Political views, where journalists and politicians hang out, that's Twitter. That is not LinkedIn. There are other avenues for other things. Family and friends, your birthday celebrations, that's probably Facebook or Instagram. It's not LinkedIn. So I am kind of being very severe here, because I'm talking in general terms, there, if I'm working bespoke with a client, I might sort of, we might play around with these things. And depending on their area of expertise as well, we might play around with these things as well. As I have worked with clients that are in government relations, and in that situation, yes, we might use LinkedIn to post some things about the politicians that they are supporting, if that's the case. But yeah, we need to remember that there are other social media platforms, and LinkedIn is about your professional expertise. Remember, though, that thought leadership doesn't mean giving away your secrets, right? And depending on your area of expertise, that will, you know, position you differently on LinkedIn. So, for example, this is the difference between listening to my podcast and working with me as my client, right? You can listen to my podcast. My podcast is educational. It's trying to convey to you the importance of planning your career, running a good job search campaign, being well prepared for what's to come ahead of you if you've been laid off or if you're planning to leave your work. But where I teach people how to actually be successful and understand my ethos and my ideology and my philosophy about career planning and design, that sits between me and my clients. There's a firewall, people pay me, and then I will share with them that knowledge because that's how I make money. And I need you to also think about that for your area of expertise. You want to share your knowledge to educate people about what you're doing without sharing your secrets and the way that you work to benefit the organization that will employ you or has employed you already. So again, check your employer's social media policy. Work in government, work in finance, you have to check what their policy is. There is probably a written policy around this. If you work for a smaller organization, you might need to ask around. And if there isn't anything to sort of base yourself, then go on LinkedIn and see how other employees or counterparts in other organizations, how they are showing up on LinkedIn, and follow their lead. If you're working with a coach like me, then we can build a risk-safe strategy for you to stand out from the crowd. But if you're working by yourself, I would recommend at least in the beginning, start by following the lead of others. What I mean by that is that I have from time to time had clients in the Middle East or Asia that were following advice from professionals that are on LinkedIn but are based in the United States, in New York or San Francisco. It's not the same, right? If you want to develop your career in a specific region, in a specific area of expertise, you need to sort of blend in well with those professionals, especially if you're looking for work. Another example is when I have professionals that are working in government, right? And government public servants present themselves on LinkedIn. Yes, they're all there, but they follow a very sort of different guideline from corporate professionals that are working for large corporations. They present themselves in a very subdued way. So the LinkedIn audits and the LinkedIn strategies that I develop for those clients is very different from my corporate clients. So follow the lead of your employer and you will be okay. The other current ongoing issue that a lot of people have is limited time. Renata, I am, you know, looking for work. I'm fully employed. I don't have time for this. This is not the right attitude, everyone. You will regret it once you are unemployed, once you are not hearing back from recruiters and you don't know why. Posting on LinkedIn is a great start to an ongoing sustainable career. Okay. So commenting thoughtfully on other people's posts, that could be the first thing you do. You don't need to start by writing a whole, you know, masterpiece on LinkedIn. Just start by commenting on other people's posts. Work with what comes more naturally to you. Is it writing? Then start with writing. Is it sharing an article with a little bit of, you know, summary from you? Never just repost. Never just repost, right? So is it writing? Is it video? Some of my clients are brilliant on video, and I know that that's rare, but if that's you, then record a video. Is it image? You know, I have had clients that just shared lovely images that represent what they're trying to say. Some of them use their own drawings and a little caption, you know, a smaller caption, but the drawing is what they, you know, are hoping to engage with people, and it does work that way. So also sharing excellent recycled content from your area of expertise. I've had clients that have published in the past and have never shared what they've published on LinkedIn. I have clients that have appeared on interviews or podcasts. So we need to start recycling those things. And then they don't all need to be shared at once. It's important to build a discipline of, you know, maybe once a week, once a fortnight, once a month, whatever it is that suits your routine, and also suits the sort of time of your career that you are right now. So if you're looking for work right now, you might want to pump it up. But if you're currently happily employed, then once a fortnight or once a month is fine. So starting with your lower hanging fruit. So if that's commenting, start with commenting. Commenting is so underrated. It's actually super important to be commenting on other people's posts. It's actually more important for you to do that in the beginning than posting yourself, because you will be learning not just what other people and how they post, but you will be learning how to write as well. Because the idea here is for you to be commenting using your own words, not the words that LinkedIn provides you. You want to be intentional. That's what we discussed right at the beginning of this episode. Now, the other big challenge is being unclear of what your value proposition is. But what is my area of expertise, Renata? I don't even know. What should I be focusing on? Focus on what you do for work. This is LinkedIn. This is not Facebook. This is not where you share, you know, things that you are passionate about in your life that are not career related. What is your expertise, your values, and your interests when it comes to your profession? That's what you should be looking at. So if you are a legal counsel and you're super interested in the environment or climate change, even if that's not part of your legal counsel work, you can share that on LinkedIn and you can start growing that expertise. If you are an IT manager and you're very interested in cybersecurity, even if cybersecurity is not part of your job description, but it's an area of expertise that's part of being an IT manager, you can share that on LinkedIn and start growing your expertise and your awareness for the importance of that. So think of LinkedIn as your professional highlight reel of what you're doing and what is interesting for you in terms of pursuing in your future career. Then I want to address how to connect and engage on LinkedIn. I've discussed this before on this podcast, but probably a long time ago. I want you to accept connections that feel relevant to your career or your industry. If people are trying to connect with you, you have no idea who they are, and they're not in any way, shape, or form related to the things you're trying to build for your career, you do not have to accept their connections. And it's same for you. Ideally, you want to send connection requests to people you know, to people you've just met. You went to an event and you met people. You want to come back home or to your office and send them a connection request with a little note. Nice to meet you at such and such event. I hope we can stay connected. That's how you connect. You do not connect by just sending random connection invitations to other people. I'll tell you what, I get random weird connection invitations from career coaches. And I'm like, you are a career coach. You should at least know better than this, right? If you're an executive coach, you're a leadership coach. Like, they're always trying to connect with me without sending me a single message, a single note. I mean, what are you teaching your clients? I get really frustrated and angry about that. And I think that, you know, that there is an etiquette about how you connect with people that requires you to send a little note to say, this is why I want to connect with you. I've listened to your podcast. I really liked it. Or I've been following your LinkedIn activity for a long time. I've signed up for your newsletter. I hope we can connect. Of course, I'm going to accept your connection. But if you just send me a connection request without, I mean, I don't know what that means. You can follow me. You can follow anyone you want. Not only you can follow them, you can press the little bell that shows up on the top right-hand corner of your LinkedIn profile, and you can follow all of that person's posts. So if you're job seeking at the moment, you don't want to connect with me, you can follow me, you can tap to see all my posts, so you will never miss a post from me as a career coach. And if you're looking for work, that might be a good idea. Okay. And then commenting, right? So you can comment on people's posts that you're not connected with. They could be a third connection, a second connection. You can still comment on their posts. You can comment on companies' posts as well. You can congratulate people, ask questions. I often comment on posts by an academic who is an expert in career planning and design. She's at the London School of Economics. And when she posts about an article that she's written or a new class that she's teaching, I comment, you know, and I share with her things that I have done, or I ask questions. And that is really beneficial for me. I can see how many people looked at my profile after I comment on somebody that has a bigger profile than I do, right? I can see a bump on people viewing my profile. They see what I've written and they come and they look at my profile to find out more about who I am. People are just very curious like that. So you can use that to increase your visibility in the areas that are important for you. Now, let's talk about LinkedIn algorithms and posting and my clients' results. I have observed as a coach that frequent LinkedIn users, and I've done some research to make sure that I'm right about this, I've noticed that when people post, comment, or try a new feature for the first time, their very first attempt seems to perform better. And this very first time could be you coming back to LinkedIn activity after being away for months or years. So the first post that you do, the first comment that you do, the first poll, you know, I recently started doing polls on LinkedIn, and the first one that I did performed super well. I had never done a poll before. So LinkedIn wanted to reward me for that and showed it to a lot of people. That is true not just of LinkedIn, but other social media platforms. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook will do the same. So that extra little boost to encourage people to continue to use the function is very common. And it's not so much about the first ever time. Like I said, it's about timing, it's about spacing, and it's about early engagement. So, for example, there's enough evidence that shows that if you post for the first time in a day, so let's say you're posting, it's on a Monday and it's 10 a.m., it's your first post. If you're posting more than once a day, the morning post will do better than the afternoon post. And that's interesting. So if it's your first post of the day, if it's your first post of the week, or after a long gap from posting, that will perform better. LinkedIn looks at how people engage as well with that post to decide how much reach to give it. So if somebody comments very quickly after you post and there are lots of likes, LinkedIn will say, oh, people, and not they will say, it's like the algorithm is coded to think, okay, people are liking this, let's show this to more people. Okay, it will continue to show it to more people. So posts that get strong early engagement within the first hour, people call that a golden window, are most likely to be shown to a wider audience. So it's an important thing for you to maybe coordinate with a few friends or colleagues to say, can you comment on my post? I just done a post. And I'd love to, you know, you to do a comment on it. If you have close friends that you can ask that, that's fine. I have just done a poll this morning and I texted my husband and I said, can you vote? Can you vote? Because it just helps the algorithm show it to more people. If you post too often in a short period of time, LinkedIn will punish you. And I have seen that happen to me. So I did a poll a couple of weeks ago, and then I wanted to share it with many groups because I thought that the poll was really aligned with the group's interests. So I shared it with four or five different groups. And the more I shared it, the more I realized that the poll wasn't doing well. And I regretted it, so I won't be doing that again. So what does that mean for you? It means that your first attempt matters. It needs to be well considered. It needs to be thought through. Ideally, you want to have a strategy behind it. And if you haven't posted in a long time, it will be important for you to sit down and think about what it is that you want to do. It will carry more weight than you think. And that's why it's so important to be intentional. You don't need to be perfect. That's not the point. But you want to have clarity of the message that you're sending, the purpose of your whole activity on LinkedIn anyway. And I've seen this play out with my clients. So for example, I've worked with a client who had never used LinkedIn as much as I wanted her to use. And we worked together on a LinkedIn post that kind of translated what she had done on Facebook when she moved to Australia. So she lived overseas and for a long time and came back to Australia after being away for decades. And she had posted something really interesting on Facebook, she showed me. And I'm like, look, this is not LinkedIn ready, but this is a start. Let's use this as a draft and see how we can translate this to LinkedIn narrative. And we did that, and it got lots of views. She had never posted anything like that on LinkedIn, and she hadn't posted on LinkedIn for months, definitely not since she had landed in Australia. That post positioned her again with her network of friends, both overseas and in Australia, to support her job searching. A few weeks later, we worked together on an article that showcased her area of expertise. A lot of my clients are using long content, long form content to show their expertise, and we workshop these things together. That article was seen by recruiters, and that happens all the time with my clients, that the recruiters tell them that they've reached out because of their posts or because of their articles, not so much because of their profiles. And she had two job interviews, and she's now at the final stages of an interview. I have had many clients that have gotten jobs already, basically because of their LinkedIn activities. So whether that's posting articles, posting posts, writing short reflections by commenting on people's posts, or just being consistent will get you better results than not being on LinkedIn at all. And these are for my typical clients, people in their 40s and 50s and 60s who have expertise, have careers, and have connections. And even if the connections are not on LinkedIn yet, that's something that we need to work on as well. It's not that the algorithm will magically favor your posts. It's because your activity is intentional. It's well-timed. It's aligned with your brand, with your professional brand and your reputation. It's the consistency that decides to take the learning further, you know, and develop that new paradigm in your career where you are in control of your knowledge and you're showcasing what you want to showcase to an audience that can support your career in the long term. Now, it got to a stage now where I feel like I can help you really well. And I want to discuss with you how I can do that. The reason why I'm so confident about this is that for the past 12 months specifically, I know with 100% certainty that LinkedIn is super important for recruiters in the way that they find candidates even before they start the formal recruitment process. And I also have seen for the past 12 months or more how a consistent, intentional, strategic LinkedIn activity can help your career just launch, get your job search going, get recruiters coming into your messages and asking to see you. So I decided to launch a new service just focusing on LinkedIn activity. I am launching a private, unlisted LinkedIn group where we can test these strategies together. And my goal is to establish this group with you, with professionals from all over the world. It doesn't matter where you are, to share all that I know in a step-by-step way. So you don't need to start guessing or being worried where to, you know, to go first. I will show you exactly what works. I will provide you with drafts and templates. I will also show you what doesn't work on LinkedIn, especially for my community of corporate leaders, experienced professionals, basically white collar workers. If you sit behind a desk and you've been working for 15, 20 years or more, I'm designing this group for you. This is a high touch service for me. For those who join this group, they will get hands-on feedback, direct support from me to make their presence on LinkedIn stronger, more visible, and more sustainable in the long term of their career. Because we have a lot more information available to us these days. That's true. Maybe you are feeling that you don't need this group. But the problem is we don't have instructions and guidelines. Too much information then ends up being disorienting for everyone. I want to guide you to achieve the success that I have seen with my clients. And I believe this group will absolutely be outstanding in providing results for you. And I strongly believe, I know for sure, that your presence on LinkedIn is impacting your career. And we need to make sure that this impact is positive. The group will be unlisted. This means it will not show up on your profile publicly. The only people that will know that you are in it are you, me, and the other members in the group. Mm-hmm. The adding of members is done manually by me. So I will ensure everyone is on the same page, that the group won't be open for registrations. If you take too long to sign up, you will join a wait list for a future intake, right? So this is not a group that will be open all the time, at least not for now. This is a new service for me, and I want to service you really well. So I want to start with a small team first, and you will be a founding member with a special founding membership fee. the group will be on LinkedIn. So you're going to be easy to, it will be easy to find us. I will add you manually, like I said, when the payment is made. And there inside the group, as well as in my intro email to you, you will find how you will start participating, weekly tasks you can do, they will be listed there. I will add one task per week so that you don't feel overwhelmed and you feel like you have enough time to do them. And I will be ranking these tasks, beginners, medium, and an advanced, so that you can choose what you think is your sort of where you are on LinkedIn, on your LinkedIn journey. I will explain the tasks in detail to you using short videos that I will upload inside the group, so you can follow my lead. I will show you exactly how things work with that video. And then that is a comment, so that's a post, inside the group. Then you can comment and show me a link of what you've done, right? So Renata, here's the post I did or the comment I did, or then I will go have a look and review your work and provide you with feedback. You can also comment asking questions. So, I'm not sure that I will always get everything right and be easy to understand. So you can ask questions and I will reply. And we will have Q&A sessions as well for us to discuss anything that you're struggling with your LinkedIn activity or profile. So in summary, I want you to know A, that this group is closed, unlisted, and registrations are not going to always be open. So if you take too long to sign up, you will join a waiting list. And if I were you, I would give this group a try because of the amazing success I've seen with my clients that work with their LinkedIn activities with me. The idea is that this will be an ongoing group, so you can join for as long as you want. It's a monthly membership fee, or you can step out if you've had enough, if you feel you don't have time for it anymore, or you've learned everything you needed to know. Together, we will work on your posting and activity, what to write, how to grow your confidence to use it, how to engage meaningfully. Before you post, you can send stuff on to us and you don't, we can work on your drafts as well inside the Facebook group, the private, LinkedIn group. And this group is a chance to test, to learn, and to practice inside this supportive environment with my direct input. So I am so excited about it. I've been thinking about this for a long time. I feel like right now I'm ready for this and you are ready for it as well. This is a serious project. There is a fee to join. I know how much of a positive impact you will have on your career and your job search by being in this group. But if you're not happy with the results, you opt out. It's a monthly membership. The details will be in the show notes on how to connect with the group and pay and join. I will also be sending information to you if you're a newsletter subscriber. So watch out for the emails about how to join the group. And you will also be able to find the information on my website as a listed service in the future. And as I said, if you can't join right away, you can join the waitlist. For now, this is a beta project. It's a project that we're testing out, so I'm not going to list it on my website in the coming weeks until we are settled with the founding members. I will also add my email to this podcast show notes in case you have questions or you are unsure if this group is the right fit for you. All right, so LinkedIn, if you've been here up until now, I think that LinkedIn is something that is really important for you. The professionals who thrive in their careers these days are doing really well on LinkedIn, especially during these sort of crazy times that we're living in and job searching in. It's an important investment. It's not an expensive investment to make. And if you'd like to be part of this pioneering LinkedIn group, I don't know anybody else that has a service like this. please join, give it a go. Send me an email or a message if you're unsure about it, or if you can't find the link to join, of course, I will help you out. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for more episodes. And we have a backlog of episodes about LinkedIn that you can listen to if you're interested to know more about my thoughts on LinkedIn. And next week, we will have Donna Burr, an interim partner at Watermark Search International, to talk about interim work for executives and portfolio careers in general. This is for professionals that want to have a combination of contracts, freelance work, part-time work in order to have an income. And it's a solution that many are aspiring to have, and some are having to have because there are no permanent roles available at this time for them. So it's an important episode I don't want you to miss, and that's coming next week. I'll talk to you then. Bye.